It is great to welcome into Racing Pulse this morning Melbourne Cup winning legend Stephen King, who joins us. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mike.
I'm going to let you make the announcement for the racing public. What is it? What will be the next phase of your career?
Yeah, I'm going to become a horse trainer, mate. So new chapter in my life. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. How long has this been bubbling away for?
Well, it's probably been there for a long time. I mean, the last 4 years I've really focused on it. I spent a couple of years up at Loy Williams's property and then moved down to Steve Richards at Flemington. But it's probably been there for a long time. And I really look back over my career. It's probably been bubbling away behind the scenes for a good 15, 20 years. I've always had a passion for it. So it's a perfect time for me to take that next step.
We'll talk about that amazing career in the saddle and some of the remarkable wins that you had in a moment. But when you finished riding about 4 years ago officially, during that period you've continued, as you said, working for Lloyd and Steve Richards at Flemington. Was this a moment, something that changed to say, you know what, now is the right time to have a crack?
Yeah, look, I mean, as I said, I've been slowly building up to it. I sort of pretty much changed overnight from being a jockey to being involved at Lloyd Williams as a one of his foremans up there, and got an opportunity to travel with the horses to Sydney for the championships. And I got to experience a lot behind the scenes, which, you know, I've always sort of known, but you know, you never stop learning in the industry, as we all know. But and then once Lloyd's establishment closed down, I moved on to Steve Richards down in Flemington, and the whole time I've been riding horses and riding work and being involved at the ground level. So, you know, it was just a natural transition to sort of decide, you know, this is the time. There's lots of good people behind me that are willing to support me. So, yeah, time's right. Very exciting times.
So when do you officially start? With how many horses? And I'm assuming you'll be based at Flemington?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to VRC. Supported me and Lee Jordan and Beck Cassar have certainly helped me out a lot. Steve has given me a great opportunity to sort of squeeze into his stable in the corner. So I'll have a couple of boxes at the start. You know, we'll wait to see where that takes us. But I've got about three on my books at the moment, and you know, I'm certainly not going to get too big straight away. I'd like to start small and let it slowly grow and get a system in place and slowly build it up from there and just see how we go.
The transition for a lot of jockeys into afterlife when they hang up the saddle is quite difficult. How has that been for you, and is it good to have this that you want to focus on as well?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, I've always been a bit of a goer, so I came from the old school, the Jay Maher days as an apprentice. And, you know, we used to work 13 and a half day a fortnight, so that's never bothered me. Obviously, having the farm and that, you're always out doing something and in between the race side of it. So I've been pretty full on the whole time, and I certainly enjoy it. And as I said, I love just being involved with the horses. I love watching them grow and mature and planning their next, you know, run and so forth. And if I go back through my career, I had a lot of success with smaller trainers too. You know, if I go back to obviously horses like Del Zayo and Let's Go Tomo and even to the likes of Restover and Autoria, they were all smaller trainers. I really thoroughly enjoyed working close with them and being, felt like I was part of the team, which was enjoyable.
So when you were a jockey, is it almost like a footballer who's playing and has the brain to say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a coach later on. Are you thinking of training while you're working and riding some of these horses? Are you having a hands-on approach when you were a jockey as well?
Definitely. I mean, I think it probably was very important. When I went to Hong Kong, that certainly opened my eyes up because you know, I was involved very closely with the horses, with the stable, with the team. And I mean, at the end of the year, you had to have results. So working with Ricky Yu over there as a stable jockey and you know, the slowest horse in the stable is just as important as the fastest one. So you did spend a lot of time with them and trying to tweak. Because you're on them every day, you've got the opportunity to sort of, you know, just tweak little things here and there. And you sort of, you've got the feel of the horse when it was getting a bit bored. You had to change things around a bit. So I've certainly carried that all the way through till now.
Working recently with Team Williams, but some of the superstars, as you mentioned, you apprenticed to John Maher. You had that wonderful association with Mark Cummings. Have you taken a bit from everyone to try and throw it into your training melting pot and who you learn and what type of training style you might have?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, certainly, as we know, you never stop learning, and each horse is an individual and you learn from every horse. And you know, I've still got a lot to learn going forward, but saying that, I enjoy just being around the animal and the fact I can ride them and be very close to them. you know, you can certainly tweak things up. You obviously got to assess the first job from my point of view is assessing what sort of horse I've got, is it a sprinter stay or so forth, and then go on from there. But, you know, I'm in a great spot. I cut the middle man out, as you say, as far as riding goes. That certainly helps. And as going forward, I'll be trying to keep that in play.
Well, you're going to be boxed next to another former star jockey who's doing remarkable things at the moment in Nick Ryan. Do you think we might see a few more former jockeys wanting to become trainers? Because it's a pretty tough caper, as you know only too well.
Yeah, well, Nick's going great, isn't he? He's really the transition's been fantastic for him. He's a great guy, and he's got a good team together, and his horses are racing fantastic. I watched from the outside of it. The work involved in that stab was very high professional, very, very high level. So I certainly take a lot from that. As far as jockeys going forward, there's no reason why you won't see more jockeys transition to training. Like Douglas is one, he's gone that way now, and a few jockeys have got the dual license. So, yeah, going forward, I can't see why that wouldn't happen. It's a great industry. If you love it, you should be in it,
Well, we know Lockie King, your son, did remarkable things last year in the Derby, and he's looking forward to, hopefully, 30 years to the day that you won your Melbourne Cup, having a ride on Johnny Get Angry this year. But what's the reaction from the family been like, the news that you want to now move into the training ranks?
Yeah, no, they're very excited for me. They're wrapped. So great support for the family. They've known it's been in the pipeline for a long time. It's just been a slow process, and I just had to wait for when the time was right. They've been given an opportunity from the VRC, train down at Flemington, which, as we know, is a great place. I was apprenticed at Peter Lodge back when I was 19, so I've grown up pretty much my whole life at Flemington. It's a great opportunity, and I'm really looking forward to the future.
Talking with former champion jockey Stephen King, who's now embarking on a training career. Did you seek some advice from some fellow trainers? You're down at Flemington working and riding as we speak now. Did you talk to a few trainers before you finalised your decision?
Yeah, look, I mean, at the end of the day, you talk to trainers and they tell you not to do it. They said you're crazy. But, no, they've been really supportive of me. The Flemington trainers have really been great. They've all sort of said, they're happy for me being involved at Flemington. So it's been great. As I said, I've been there most of my life. So I'm just looking forward to squeezing into the corner somewhere and have a small little team, and we'll just see how it grows. Will it grow organically and put 100% into it and see where it takes us.
Have you got a good horse? One of the couple that's already in the stable at the moment, do you think?
Hopefully, once all the paperwork goes through and I can have a runner, hopefully I have a runner in a couple of weeks' time, and I look forward to him going to the races. Nice 3-year-old colt. So, Lockie's going to ride him, which is going to be a great thing, a first runner with Lockie riding him. It's going to be very exciting. And as time goes on, hopefully we get some good results.
I was going to say, you've got a stable jockey lined up already, haven't you?
Oh, for the first up ride, definitely. I could not put him on. I have to put the young kid on first up. So it's one for the books. But, yeah, Lockie will definitely have a ride of him. I've just got to find out where I'm going to go. Yeah, there's a couple of races coming up for him. So we'll just decide in the next couple of weeks.
Do you remember your first ride as a jockey? And will you be just as nervous when you saddle your first one up as a trainer?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's all very exciting. It's all new. I've obviously saddled up a lot of horses, but once it's officially under my name, I'm sure there'll be a bit of butterflies coming.
What do you think the reaction will be from some of your fellow jockeys that used to ride against, who are still going around now, Brett Prewell, Ollie and the like?
Yeah, I think they pretty much know which path I was going down. They've seen at the track and throwing horse and so forth. So I think they all pretty much knew the direction I was taking. It's just taking it up until now to sort of, push the button and officially get it. So I don't think they'll be that surprised.
Will you be a mild-mannered trainer? Because trainers can give jockeys a spray now and then. You've been there, you've done it. How do you think you'll react if someone rides a bad one for you?
No, I think I'll be pretty fair. I understand the fact that, you can't be box seat for Barrier 14 for 1,400 a kite. So I'm pretty fair. I think I'll understand that side of it. I understand that, obviously, things go wrong in racing, but no doubt I have a few frustrating days, but I'm sure I'll be pretty crazy to ride for.
You rode the winners of most majors, Caulfield, Melbourne Cup, Cox Plate, Victoria Derby. What would be the number one wish to train the winner of?
Ooh, I'd love to win a slipper. That's the one I missed out on. to win a slip would be great, and obviously just, you know, win a feature group one would be fantastic. So but we'll start off small and we'll slowly build up to it and see where it takes us.
Stephen, it is unbelievable news. While I've got you, we might take a break, and when we come back, I want to relive, because everyone wants to know about that remarkable spring carnival that you combined with Let's Elope. So we might take a break. We'll come back with champion jockey Stephen King, who has just announced he will be joining the training ranks here in Victoria, and we'll have a little look back on that spring carnival that changed his life forever when he combined with the mighty Let's Elope to clean sweep the carnival of 91.
In a three-way photo.
Ivory Way battling back then, superimposing Sheba's Revenge Lane, but Let's Elope has burst away in the Foster's Melbourne Cup, belongs to the mare. Let's Elope bolts the cup in, wins by three lengths, and it's a Cummings Quinella. Sheba's Revenge got second, place up on the inside, Magnolia.
Oh, what a remarkable mare she was, Let's Elope, clean sweeping everything in that spring carnival of 1991. And for a young jockey, Stephen King, it changed his life. That was the Caulfield Cup Melbourne Cup double. Stephen, it's 30 years ago this spring carnival. Can you believe it? It's 30 years since that unbelievable spring carnival.
Yeah, it's frightening, isn't it? I just can't believe it. It's such a long time ago. But, you know, lots happened in those 30 years. And, she certainly kicked it off for me, no doubt about it. She gave me the resume to travel and move around and experience different things, different racing cultures and that. So it was fantastic.
Well, now that you're about to embark on a training career, do you remember the first time Bart said to you, I've got a mare for you to ride, when you jumped on her before Turnbull Stakes Day?
It was actually Leon Corson at the time, because Leon was down there running Bart's stable, and he grabbed me and said, have you got a ride? And Turnbull on Saturday, and I think it might have even been like the Monday at the time, and I said no, and he said, yeah, well, I've got a little mare for you to, well, didn't say little, big mare for you to ride in the Turnbull, and just go out there and see what she does. Just ride her out the back and pull her out and see. Let's have a look at her and see what she can do. Well, that's the history, isn't it? So, yeah, it was fantastic.
What kind of feel did she give you? Because she was just so explosive in those wins on good tracks during that spring.
Yeah, look, she was obviously a big mare, very relaxed, very laid back. But when you switched her on and said, let's go, she had that massive turn of foot, a great acceleration. She could find five or six lengths very fast, get around the field. She always had a tendency to lay in, but she could pretty much put them away in about sort of five or six strides, pick them up and put them away pretty quick. So the acceleration on her was just extraordinary. And I mean, if I look back over my career, I was lucky enough to ride the Tybee and so forth, but, you know, she had a great turn of foot, Let's Elope, and it was, gave a jockey a lot of confidence to be able to sit back and just pick them off when you wanted to, which certainly helps.
How confident were you heading into that cup?
The Melbourne Cup? Yeah, I was very confident in the Melbourne Cup. I mean, Caulfield Cup was a tough race because she didn't really like Caulfield and she struggled around the turns and that. Being a short straight, she just never had a chance to sort of wind up. But Leamington that day, I thought the only chance of her getting beat was if I got to beat myself. So my main mission was to make sure she had plenty of room and I could let her use that turn of foot that she had. And as you know, she put him away pretty quick, and it was all history.
It's an unbelievable carnival you had that year, because you won the Caulfield Cup, and then you won the McKinnon on the Saturday on Let's Elope, as well as the Melbourne Cup, but you also won the Derby on Star of the Realm.
Yeah, well, he was a great horse too, Star of the Realm. I mean, he was perfect. You know, Flemington horse, mile and a half, big track. He just loved Flemington, so he had a big, extravagant action on him, and he needed that chance to wind up. So that was a great result. The Derby, as you know, only had two runners in at the time, and pretty much those two horses came from the bottom all the way up. So it was a great result.
Yeah, that was, I think, Ready to Explode was a stable mate as well. So what was it like? You mentioned working for John Maher, and he was a pretty strict disciplinarian from what we hear. And do you think that's going to help shape your training style as well?
Oh, definitely. John was very tough, very strict, but very fair. I mean, you know, he taught you a great work ethic and make sure you do things spot on. I'm a bit of a control freak now, but probably because of John. Make sure everything's done properly. And when you bed the horses down, make sure they're all spot on. So, yeah, no, definitely he's had a massive influence in my career going forward. And he, personally, he's made a massive influence.
And the period in Hong Kong, how much did that round, do you think, your not just your riding, but your horsemanship out?
Oh, I loved Hong Kong. I mean, Hong Kong's a tough environment, but I certainly loved it. I mean, I love the experience of it. It's so big. I think you've probably heard other jockeys say it's Melbourne Cup Day there every day, not just once a year. Every race is so important. And, you know, the build-up to it is great. You know, you only got the twice a week racing, so pretty much, you know, all the horses know all the form. And if you've got a winning chance, well, obviously, it's very exciting. So, I enjoyed it. I rode for Ricky Hugh for the 2 years. He had a team of 60 horses. And as I said before, it's very important to get results. And it was very exciting.
You mentioned only 2 days a week racing. That's been a big discussion point here. And has that played on your mind when you're making the decision to become a trainer? Because it is a 24/7, 365 day of the year job.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, look, it's what Karen Marr and those boys do. I mean, geez, the workload's massive. So, I couldn't imagine myself getting that big. So, I'm just going to probably stay quite small and boutique. And as I said, I'm just going to let it grow organically. And if I can have a nice little team of horses around me, good staff, and enjoy it, that's what I'm looking forward to.
How do you see the jockey ranks at the moment? When you rode, you had your core group of superstars, and as I mentioned before, a couple of them are still going strong now. How do you see the depth and strength of the current Victorian jockey ranks?
Yeah, it's very strong. I mean, look, times have changed, obviously, with the, you could say the satellite training centres the way they are now, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, jockeys have to be where the horses are being trained at. So you've got your Ballarat, your Cranbourne, your Pakenham, and so forth. So, you know, when I was riding, you pretty much stayed at Flemington Caulfield. You did sort of go within an hour and a half out of Melbourne to race ride, and you'd still get those opportunities when those horses come from the provincials back to the city. You'd get the rides. Where that's all changed now, because at the end of the day, these trainers need their horses work, so they obviously support the blokes riding them work, whether it's Pakenham or Ballarat or so forth. So yeah, it's very competitive now, and I mean, those days are gone where, you know, a top jockey can just sit back and pick whatever he chooses. That's history now. That's certainly all changed now.
They're riding every day of the week, the top jockeys, from Damien Oliver, Damien Lane and Craig Williams. You'll see them riding regularly on a Friday now as well. And this spring carnival is different to any other, though, because we know what's occurred with some of the top jockeys. No Sydney jockeys coming down here. So it's giving jockeys like Daniel Moore, Lockie King, who... Fred Kuzo, I should say, who fought out the finish of the group one on Saturday. Now, is this an opportunity for Lockie King this spring, do you think?
Oh, look, it's probably a great opportunity for a lot of these young guys to sort of try and break into that pool of jockeys. I mean, it's very hard to get your resume up unless you get the opportunity. So then when you get the opportunities, you've got to capitalise on it. So, and the fact that, you know, if you can ride light, that certainly opens up a lot of doors for you, because, you know, when it comes to pick jockeys in these feature races and it's lightweight, there's probably only a handful that can ride the 52. So, you know, this is the opportunity, like, for your Daniel Moore's net to step up and get results like he did on Saturday. And hopefully, you know, that gives him an opportunity to break into that top notch of riders. You know, that top group of riders have been up there for a long time and no one underneath has knocked them off yet. So that just tells you where they are.
And obviously, one of the proudest moments of your life would have been last year during the Derby. Lockie's come back. He had a couple of winners, or he had a winner on the weekend. He's got some nice rides tomorrow. How close are you still mentoring Lockie? Do you look back over his rides? Do you watch them all? And do you give feedback?
I try and help him without being over the top. At the end of the day, he's done it. I have to that sort of split between that part of being a dad and being a coach. But in saying that, he's done a great job. He's just come back from injury and he's got to get his rides back under him and get some results. And I'm sure that's going to happen in the coming weeks. And his horse, Johnny Gedangry, he's going to qualify for the Cup. So he's just got to get him there now and keep him healthy. And I'm sure it's going to be a great experience for him. And if he's right in the day, he'll run the 2 mile out. So I always felt if you run the 2 mile, normally you weigh in. Depends on where you're weighing at, which end you're at. But I'm sure that Johnny Gedangry will run the 2 mile out.
Wouldn't be a bad fairy tale having Lockie have a ride in a Melbourne Cup 30 years since you won it on Let's Lope.
Yeah, it's a great story, and I know he's very excited about it. Dennis Pagan's been a great supporter of his, and it'll be very exciting for him going forward. That's the great thing about it, is the Cup is the build-up to it. I mean, it happens a long way out. It's not actually just the day itself. It's a massive build-up to it. It's you know, it takes 3 or 4 months to get these horses there, and it changes on a daily basis. So it's very exciting. A lot of things can go wrong, but you know, fingers crossed everything goes right. You're there on the day.
Well, it's going to be a massive spring carnival. It's going to be a massive couple of weeks. So fingers crossed in about 2 or 3 weeks we might see your first runner with Lockie King on board. Is that the timeline?
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of looking at. So hopefully a couple of weeks' time, once the paperwork all goes through, I'm pretty eager to get going, and we'll very exciting times.
All right, should we be backing your first runner? Is it set up to win, have the fairy tale beginning?
Oh, well, we'll do our best, but we'll wait and see. I'm sure a few of the old animal pars that used to follow me might put their couple of bucks on it in the morning to start up favourite if that happens.
Have you got some stable colours?
I have, yes. I've got some stable colours. I've had a runner in those stable colours. A horse put himself in front, ran at Pakenham, he ran fourth, and Manhattan ran gelding, so he raced in my colours. So, yeah, this horse will race under different colours, though, because it's privately owned.
All right. Stephen, great to break the news this morning. You're going to be a welcome addition, a legend of the sport, now becoming a trainer. We wish you all the best in the journey ahead.
Thanks, Michael.